You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcasts.
Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the China Shop. You've made it here. We're so glad you did. I'm Shopkeeper Dan. With me, as always, is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. How are you doing today, Kyle?
I'm feeling pretty good. I got a decent night's sleep, finally.
Oh, that sounds like a myth. I don't believe in them.
Better than you are.
Decent night's sleep.
How are you feeling today, Dan? Sounds like you're getting sick.
Oh, God, I could be getting sick.
Again?
Well, yeah, Kyle, yeah, my immune system ain't so hot. Anyway, come on into the shop with us today. Sit back, relax, rage against the hedge machine. We'd love to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We're here smashing our way around, trying to get a complete set of fine china here. If you smash enough china, Kyle, you'll get the whole set.
Oh, is that how it works?
That's what I was told. We share our ever-growing strategies for maximizing gains and cutting losses. If you are new to the China Shop and stock trading in general, you should probably check out our knowledge and resource centers on financialineptitude.com or give one of our beginning trading episodes a listen. We'll have all those links in the episode description. And it may be time for a new beginning trading episode.
Yeah, it's been a little while, hasn't it?
Yeah. But the best place to be is our Discord server. Kyle and I get on there every day with a lot of awesome people. It's just a great place to be. And Kyle, I don't know if you're aware of this, but it's a free server.
Wait, we're not charging for it?
Yeah, there aren't any paid tiers or special access areas.
How are we making the money to give all this shit away?
Step two question mark?
Yeah.
We don't know how to make money off of our community, so we're just going to keep it free. So when you do join, send us a private message or email with your mailing address, and so we can send you some smash-it-yourself swag straight from the shop.
Mostly smashable. I think the beer koozies might give you a little trouble.
Yeah. You might need to tear the beer koozie with your teeth.
Or get some liquid nitrogen.
Oh, that sounds like a fun video.
Right?
We're just really glad you're here. We have a lot of fun, and it's always better with friends. And we love you all. All right. Kyle, we got any show news?
I mean, there's always show news, I guess, right?
Is there any show news you'd like to talk about?
I would like to talk about our interview with Leo and Flary from Orderflow Labs. It's getting released this week.
Yes. That was a good interview.
That was a great interview. And actually, I've already tentatively scheduled them to come back at the end of March, because I don't know if people are aware, but they gave us a trial of their products so we can check them out and see how they all work, their Sierra chart studies.
Yes.
So there are going to be a lot more questions when they come back next time.
Yeah, they're very informed traders. And
yes,
their studies are really awesome stuff.
What was crazy is hearing the backstory about how they got started. And it was seems like a similar path to kind of what we did.
Mm-hmm.
Like five guys hanging out on Discord. And then they have one coder in the group that they basically say, hey, make me a study that shows me this.
I even had an idea for a study, and then when they gave us access to all of their stuff, it's one of their beta studies. So I was like, nice. Yeah, that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted to see. Yes. All right. Where are we? Where am I?
I think it's time to talk about the bet results.
No, we still got some intro to get through.
Okay. All right. I'm just an eager beaver.
Calm down. We have got a rigorous, riotous, robust episode today. We got plenty of market moving news, stocks on the radar, and more options than Facebook lost market cap after their latest earnings.
Ah, more options than spots Zuckerberg dropped on the richest man list.
Yeah.
We will be talking about that later.
Fuck the Zuck. And reach out to us. We do love your messages and comments, whether they're on Twitter, Facebook, or even especially the Discord. Maybe you're old school and you want to just send us an email. That's, you can do so at the number 2bulls@financialneptude.com, or you can give us a phone call, 725-22-BULLS. Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made, or maybe you just got a DUI and the penalty is you got to coach a kid's hockey team. It doesn't matter. We love it when you reach out.
Did that one.
What are you talking about? We just did that one?
We just did the Mighty Ducks, didn't we?
What? What are you talking about? Maybe like a year ago.
Okay.
But nobody remembers but you.
That feels very familiar. Oh, no. The last one was the pro hockey skater turned figure skater.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I've been watching a lot of ice skating movies. What's the big deal?
When are you going to do Youngblood?
Never seen it.
Okay. Next week, then. Next week. No, next week's going to be The Room.
Oh, God damn it. Yeah, we're doing that today, too.
Yep.
All right, Kyle, now we can talk about some bet results.
All right. You can go first.
Did I make the least money? Because I made money.
I know. You did.
God damn it. So I wanted to go long on the SPXS, but I didn't want to get in right away because I felt like the market had a little bit more upside to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I said I wanted to buy it at 1875, and I had and it did get down there. And in fact, it got as low as 18, but my stop was at 1650. And then it rallied and ended the week at $19 and a penny. For a second there, it looked like it was going to hit $20, and I was really excited on Friday. But then the market decided.
There was a big sell-off right at the end there.
Yeah. No, that brought me up. What was it? Amazon earnings brought the market up?
No, going into Friday, like Friday close, there was a big big sell-off.
Well, trust me, I was watching Friday. The sell-off started Thursday, and it continued through Friday morning.
Yeah.
And then it was like...
Then it rallied.
Then it rallied and things were looking dire, but then it sold off again.
Oh yeah, sorry man, the inverse of that keeps fucking me up.
Yeah. right. It's like a little logic puzzle. Yeah. Anyway, regardless, I made $6.93. I'm at $506.93 for February, starting out on a positive note.
I really like the way you structured that bet, because if you would have just went in on the start of the week, it would have been a lot more painful, because I think it opened the week at $20 or over $20.
It did, yeah.
So using that buy stop to grab it, and then you grabbed it with strength too. I really like the plan that you came up with doing that. I had Capital One, which opened the week at 141.34, and it hit my take profit at 150 for closing at 150.35. So that took my bet total up to 531.24.
Oof, wow.
But random went with Triple I. That opened at 620 and finished at 680. And fuck random and fuck it's $548.39.
You know, it's funny because when we both looked at that chart, we were both like, well, if there's ever a time to get in on this stock, it looks like it's right now.
Yes. Random has been getting some great entries lately.
Right? We don't even have to do any buy limits or change anything. Maybe I'm overthinking this bet stuff.
I was actually trying to decide whether or not I should take a fight random with random.
Right? Oh, well, there you have it. Thrilling start to February.
Yeah, we're all positive. I don't know when was the last time that happened.
Yeah, it's demoralizing for me to make money and still be in last place. For sure. Oh,
it's still the beginning of the month. There's still plenty of opportunity for me to lose it all.
I won't hold my breath. Oh, all right, Kyle, let's move on. Let's talk about some news.
Well, we all know why we're listening today. The shop is bursting with the week to replay. So sit back, we got some market affairs. Get some stories for the bulls and the bears. Clowns running companies, laws change overnight. Here we are, it's time for China Shop News. Yeah, now it's time for China Shop News.
Yeah, it's hard to move on from it, right?
It's just, I know, it's so good.
Kyle, you got any big stories you're dying to lead off with? Because you know I've got one.
I'm sure you want to talk about turkey, but.
Oh, I do. I really do. And I know it's probably not popular, but I'm so obsessed with turkey. Well, it's like my reality show.
Let's talk about the jobs report first. The blowout jobs report on Friday that actually led to the decline. And it makes sense when you think about it. Like, the really strong jobs report basically is proof, or I guess gives more ammo to the Fed to raise rates. So seeing that strength before they were expecting it means that those March rate hikes are much, much more likely to happen, even though they're pretty much a shoo-in.
I don't remember. I read a lot of news stories this morning, but one of them even said that now they're talking there could be 6 hikes.
Well, yeah, that was the rest of this, was all the people with their predictions. And I think Goldman Sachs is predicting 5. Bank of America is the highest, where they're predicting 7. I listened to the Fed president at the Atlanta Fed president talk. He came on, I think, CNBC or something at the end of the trading day yesterday. Mm-hmm. He doesn't think a recession is likely, but he's basically saying that March rate hikes are pretty much going to happen. Whether or not there's more than what they're anticipating is all going to depend on the next reports. Like, he's saying, like, take Jerome Powell's, you know, what he says at face value. Like, they need to gather more information before they make a decision on what's going to happen there.
Maybe that's why the market ended Friday bad, because everybody's like, yay, good jobs reports. Wait, what does that mean? Things are getting more rate hikes. I'm a bear this year. It's happened.
It's hard not to be.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily technical analysis. It's just economic analysis. Of, like,
right. God, what was the other thing I saw today? I saw something about like the England central bank president saying that workers should forgo raises this year because they don't want to get into a wage raise inflation spiral. Like, fuck you, dude.
Which literally means keep taking inflation pay cuts.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what he's saying.
Don't. Yeah, I saw, like, that too.
Fuck you, dude. Fucking banks.
And in the same news feed, when I was scrolling through on Reddit, it was also like the, was it Bank of America got, CEO got a 30% pay increase?
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fucking banks. This is why people hate banks.
Yeah. I'm different.
If you're upper management, you worked hard for that raise. Right. But if you're not, no. Don't ask for a raise. It's just going to spiral everything out of control.
We can't all do it. I got mine.
Look, give us a couple years. We'll have run a think tank on it, do a couple studies, and see if you need a raise.
Yeah. Anyway, mm-hmm. So what was yours that you're itching to talk about?
Oh, it's actually marijuana.
Oh, yes. There's actually some movement going now, finally.
Yes, yes. Good old Chuck Schumer, Amy Schumer's lesser known cousin.
Are they really related? I would love that if they were.
They really are related.
Are they really?
They really are.
Oh, God.
He had a press conference on Friday. I don't know if he, like, plans this. Like, everybody's talking about job reports. And he's like, okay, so, by the way, we're gonna release a bill to legalize marijuana in April. Now that no one's paying attention.
Right. If that's what it takes, go for it.
Right? Just fucking do it already.
I know, it's ridiculous.
They've officially, the Senate is going to start in April with legislation of comprehensive federal marijuana legislation. And now they've been saying, because, you know, they've been trying to, the House has been trying to do the Safe Bank Act to get marijuana banking reform done. And it keeps stalling. And one of the things he's been saying is Chuck Schumer's been saying, like, well, we need it. We don't need it as a standalone. We need it as part of our comprehensive marijuana reform. So it does appear like there is hope for marijuana federal legalization this year.
Does it have the support of all the Democrats? Because they're going to need to be united on that. I'm not sure that everybody is fully on board.
Well, you know, I asked my people in Washington to do an informal poll.
Yeah, what did they come up with?
They came up with that smoking weed gets you high and is a fun time.
Who'd you talk to, Dave Chappelle?
You don't have people in Washington.
You're from Baltimore.
Yeah, that's possible. Okay, fair enough. I should go try and track down all my elementary school friends that don't remember
me
anymore.
Yeah, see if anybody made it
big. Yeah. Listen, Chris, we were best friends in the third grade. You owe me.
What's the statistic? Like 1 in 5 will be dead?
Oh, God.
What's the statistic for how many of them are doing well?
1 in 50. Sure. Well, so I don't know if you're aware of this, but marijuana companies have been kind of taking a beating for the past year.
I am well aware.
In fact, the YOLO ETF that Jen's got in her account, well, it's actually, she's been in cash for a while. She got out at $18 a share. It dipped below 10.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's currently at around 10.50. But with this news, I'm going to be eyeing to see that turn higher highs, higher lows to get her back in.
Mm-hmm.
Now that there's hope, but I still gotta be careful because it's just hope at this point. It's nothing concrete.
No, but it's still something you want to be invested in long term. It's gonna happen sooner or later.
Yeah.
It just might be later.
Just might be right. Exactly.
You had something on China too, didn't you? Or you want me to start with mine?
The House of Representatives at passed the China competition bill, tightening ties with Taiwan.
Mm.
This is part of strengthening the American supply chain. They want to give $52 billion to support the U.S. semiconductor-related production because of the global chip shortage.
That's a good idea.
They also want to spend $45 billion strengthening the American supply chain and manufacturing back home.
That's probably a good idea, too.
Yeah.
Considering that's the... apparently the culprit of all this inflation.
Semiconductors.
The supply chain has nothing to do with all the money we printed.
No, nothing. Nothing at all. It also included a whole bunch of diplomatic stuff with Taiwan to piss off China.
And the FBI director, that's one of the stories I wanted to talk about, actually, was kind of doing the same thing. He accused Beijing of stealing Americans' ideas and innovations and launching massive hacking operations.
Yeah.
And the more I was digging into this, every time we talk to somebody that talks about wanting to put their product in China, like we've always asked them, like, are you worried about like having your technology stolen?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time they say no, but saying this, that it's a real worry to me now, more so than it was before. Christopher Wray, the FBI director, said that when they tally up what they see in our investigations, over 2,000 of which are focused on Chinese government trying to steal our information and technology, there's just no country that presents a broader threat to our ideas. The Bureau is opening new cases to counter Chinese intelligence operations every 12 hours or so, he said.
Whoa.
Chinese government hackers pilfer more personal and corporate data than all other countries combined.
All other countries combined.
And then the Chinese government officials repeatedly reject accusations from the U.S. government, with the spokesperson of the embassy saying last July that Americans have, quote, made groundless attacks, end quote, and malicious smears about Chinese cyber attacks. So, and then they also described China as a staunch defender of cybersecurity. The way that quote reads, they're making groundless attacks and malicious smears about our cyber attacks. So the cyber attacks that you're doing, they're not as bad as what they're saying. Is that what he's trying to say?
Yeah. They don't deny the attacks. They just like, look, we're trolling people on Twitter. We're not stealing industrial secrets.
Oh yes, they are. One example: last November, Chinese intelligence officer is convicted of economic espionage for targeting an advanced engine by GE. That Chinese state-owned enterprises were working to copy. There was 2014, 5 military Chinese officers indicted on charges of hacking into major corporations.
Wow.
There is some, I guess, what's the word? There are some critics to, I guess, the effort of the Justice Department that was created in 2018 because they think that researchers and professors are getting investigated on the basis of their ethnicity. And it's also stifling academic collaboration. But I always have a hard time with these things. Like, it makes no sense to go target, you know, Joe Everyman for stealing Chinese secrets over, you know, Hung Wayne, Juan or whatever, who just came over yesterday wearing his military uniform. I don't know. Maybe we cut that. That's borderline.
Well, all right. Well, we won't cut it, but we'll stop talking about it.
Stop talking about it. I mean, yeah, it's dangerous waters. Let's talk about something lighthearted. You got anything else good?
Well, the last thing I'll end with is there's a vast Department of Justice probe looking at almost 30 different short-selling firms and allies.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently, and this was news to me, apparently the FBI, well, you remember that guy Andrew Left from Citron Research?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Apparently the FBI went to his home in early 2021. So beginning of last year, right when GME was blowing up,
mm-hmm.
they actually went to his home and gathered all his data to go through.
Wow.
and it's still ongoing, but every company that I've been reading about it on Bloomberg, every company that Bloomberg talked to was like, yeah, we're totally cooperating. We're giving them all our stuff. Like, we don't make shit up.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they've been doing this for a year leads me to believe that there's nothing there.
I don't know. Be careful with that thought train.
Yeah.
Have you got your copy of Iceland Secret yet?
Yes. I haven't started reading it.
Okay. Read that first and then let me know what your thoughts are, because it's just, there's so much data you have to go through in order to build these cases. Like, he does a really good job of explaining like just what it takes to build a case, even when you have some evidence.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you're also talking about a agency that's not paid quite the same way that the people at Citron are.
That's true.
With less incentives.
Yeah. Well, so we'll see how that plays out.
But, yeah. It's nothing that's going to happen quick, and nothing from the SEC or DOJ happens fast.
That's true. Any apes out there should take heart. The investigations are happening.
It's just too late to save. If they did find anything wrong, it's not going to go back, and they're not going to make the stock price $60 again.
Right.
That's the downside.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
All right.
You don't want to real quick talk about Erdogan in the news again? Him and his wife got tested positive for coronavirus.
Oh, couldn't happen to a nicer chap.
His tweet, we have mild symptoms, which we learned to be the Omicron variant. We await your prayers. That's how he ended that.
We await your prayers?
Yes. Not thank you for your prayers.
That's almost like a threat.
Yeah.
We await your prayers.
Come on.
Bring
them. Let's have them.
Where are they? My prayer counter is still at 13.
I kind of want to find that tweet and see what the responses are.
It's funny because I thought you were referring to the story about how Turkey's economy is pretty much just propped up by China.
No, it wasn't. Sounds like we need to do a Turkey bonus episode so you can get it all out of your system.
Well, I'll sum it up in like 20 seconds. And that is like the reason the Turkish lira was falling so fast is because all of the business is being done in foreign currencies. Mm. And they basically import from China, put it together and sell to Europe. So they're like, they're taking in euros and exchanging them for the Chinese whatever. And that's why no one's using, that's why their currency crashed, because no one, even Turkey's using it.
All right.
Anyway. Oh, Kyle, I had a fever dream last night.
I know where this is going.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I already told you about the dream with Danica Patrick on the hood of her car. And I'm the guy trying to change the tire, and all she wants to do is have sex. And I'm like, look, I got a fucking job to do, lady.
No, you didn't tell me that. Never mind.
Oh, yeah. No, that wasn't my fever dream. That's just a pleasant digression. I don't know why that name came into my head. I'm not even like into her particularly. Just, I don't know.
When you said that, all I could think of is that comedian I heard talking to, God, I don't know if it was Bert Kreischer or one of those guys, but basically his fantasy is just imagining Aaron Rodgers just going to town on Olivia Munn. That's what he masturbates to.
he's not even part of it. He's just the voyeur.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, no. I had a fever dream, and I actually spoke to an alien being, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that alien being was like, Dan, get your shit together. You need to fucking get a mortgage. I was like, dude, I don't know who. I don't know anybody who can help me with that. And I shit you not, this alien handed me the treasure map to Sue Pullen at Fairway Independent Mortgage. An equal housing lender.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah. True story, man.
Yeah.
True story. Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm just saying, this lady is galactically known. Like with her over 20 years of experience finding the right product for people and their needs, she's gotten a lot of attention. Attention from
Star Command or Starfleet.
A lot of attention from Starfleet, helping thousands of homeowners, whether it's purchase, refinance, even reverse mortgages. She's helped them because she's licensed in 27 galactic empires.
Doesn't that go against the Prime Directive?
It does. This was a rogue alien.
Sue is a rebel.
She's a rebel. She'll help you. She doesn't care what Starfleet says.
Exactly.
Best way to reach her is just give her. Man, I'm not on fire today. I apologize. No. Oh, just give her a call, 520-977-7904. Give her an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage, MLS number 2289. Sue Pullen has an MLS number 206048.
I feel like we need to post a picture of that treasure map so people can get that information easier.
Yeah, so they can find the treasure. So reach out, see what Sue could do for you.
All right, Two Balls in a China Shop is also proud to be affiliated with TradePro Academy. TradePro Academy is the educational platform that offers institutional trader development programs to new and experienced independent traders. Translation, learn to trade like the big institutions. We've got a great staff of highly knowledgeable and successful traders, and there's no better place that we've found to learn all that you need to know to be a successful trader. Find them online at tradeproacademy.com, or you can use our affiliate link in the episode description. It's a great way to support the show and improve your own knowledge and skills.
Yes.
And I think we have a third plug to read this time.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't call it a plug, but I'm really excited to talk about. No, it's definitely a plug.
Yes,
it is. Awesome, the awesome Flary and Leo from Orderflow Labs. We interviewed them last week. They're coming out this week. They were kind enough to share their toolkit for all of their futures trading studies on Sierra charts. They have some amazing custom studies for structure and execution. From buy sell zones to exhaustion absorption detectors and everyone's favorite reconstructed tape, they have something for everyone. They're constantly adding and testing new studies. They offer a lot of support to help you with on how to use their tools. So if you are trading futures, you should check out orderflowlabs.com. They also have a great Discord on there for support.
Yes.
on how to. What to do while reading and using their studies. So
yeah, they've got videos showing how to use them. And one of the other things I was really impressed with is how many Zoom calls they do where they're just getting on there and like talking about the tools or how to use them or showing you just how to trade with them. So it's a lot more than just the studies. I was kind of impressed with that.
All right, Kyle, is it time to talk about some stocks maybe?
I think so.
You say you own a ticker that wins. The bell just rung, it's time to get in. Ups drive us wild, drops drive us crazy. The bulls will shout, the bulls are always shouting. I wanna get rich overnight and profit every trade. I wanna get rich overnight and
What do you want to start with? Because there's a bunch.
Oh, yeah, there is a bunch. Well, let's get my, I only have one.
Is it Facebook?
No.
Oh, okay. No. Well, go ahead then.
Well, it's not really a news story, but it's definitely a stock that has something to do with current events. I've been watching, I had my eye on Raytheon.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, if war breaks out in Ukraine, I bet defense stocks will go up.
Yeah.
Well, when I looked them over, like Raytheon is at their 52-week high. They're at an all-time high.
What's the symbol again?
RTX.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Yeah. They just tested support and it at 85 and it held. Yeah. Then they broke into new all-time highs. Definitely one that I am watching and I'm considering getting some like April dated call options on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a target on that or anything else you're watching for?
No, it's just all-time highs. The target is the moon.
At that point, yeah. I think what round numbers, I think, is what you look for. 100?
Right. Yeah. So be 100.
I like it because it's been in a massive consolidation leading up to that finally popping up above it.
Since May.
Looks like it came right back down and kissed that 92 support for coming back up again.
Mm-hmm.
Decent volume on the move. Looks like volume's increasing. I like it. Let's talk about Facebook, Dan.
Okay.
I think we have to talk about Facebook.
Oh, don't you mean Meta platforms?
No, I refuse to say that.
Yeah, it's Facebook.
You had a story. I had a story. Basically, it dropped, what, $232 billion in value, setting an all-time record.
Yeah, all-time record for largest market cap loss ever.
Zuckerberg personally lost, what, $30
billion? Yeah, he's now not even close to the running for richest in the world.
Right. But what really stuck out to me when I was kind of reading up on some of this was the way that it wasn't just the earnings report and like the actually losing active users for the first time, like ever. it was basically Zuckerberg blaming Apple and TikTok for their problems rather than having like any sort of solution.
Mm-hmm.
The main complaint is about Apple's privacy change in the iOS 14.5.
How dare they?
They took out full-page ads in late 2020, accusing Apple of harming small businesses and threatening the future of free internet.
Yeah.
The change that they're complaining about requires developers to request permission before their apps can track users.
Yeah, before they can scrape the data on your phone, they have to ask your permission. Yes, without
asking. Yeah.
How dare Apple do that to Facebook?
Mm-hmm. So that was the first thing that took Zuckerberg's ire. The second one was TikTok. And their answer for TikTok is that they want to get their video product Reels going. Remember when Netflix took over and like wiped out Blockbuster?
Yeah.
Remember what Blockbuster did in the dying days trying to come back to relevancy?
Oh, where they just tried to copy what Netflix was doing?
Exactly copy. Yeah.
Hello. 100% copy.
Did not work very well, did it? they actually previously tried to copy stories from Snapchat too, and that didn't work. So trying to copy your competitors is never going to work. I think their only chance is to try to buy TikTok.
Let me look up the value of Blockbuster stock to see how they're doing.
Oh, go for it. Yeah.
Let's see. Maybe Blockbuster.
Do they still trade it? I don't think they do. I think it's completely gone.
There is no such company.
Yeah.
Well, what do you know? I hope it happens to Facebook.
So this to me makes Facebook seem like it's there's no more up. Like that's the end of it. Unless I can figure out a new way to. They have to innovate in order to get more users, but you can't grow forever. That's just kind of how it works, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So the fucking earnings came out and goddamn, did they get hammered on it? I had a support at 245 and it fell, it gapped below that.
It did.
So it's trading in a 230 or 223, I think is the next support. 220. Yeah, 223 is the next support I have. It's trading in between that right now. I don't want to buy this. I don't want to be long this at all.
Ever. Well, no. I'm looking at it right now on the daily back to the 2020 drop. I'm eyeing it. I'm eyeing that $260 level for a retest. Like I want it to like where is it going to if it has a push up, where is it going to stall out to drop even further?
Mhm. Yeah, that's a good target.
And it might even be more like 255, 250.
Yeah, right where the volume starts to swell.
Yeah.
I think that's a good solid area to look.
Get some puts at that point.
Right. Really long data, though, because it might take a while for this to...
That's true.
I mean, it's not the end of Facebook. Let's be honest. They do have a shitload of users still. They do make a shitload of money doing ad revenues. Just, it sounds like people are finally getting sick of them.
Yeah, I've been reading that the younger generations don't enjoy the platform.
No. No, and then when the leader comes out and says all our problems are somebody else's fault, like, that's not a good sign of good leadership.
Yeah. You got to get those Winklevoss twins back in there.
The other company I wanted to talk about was Ford.
Oh, yeah.
Ford is cutting production again because of the chip shortage. Mm-hmm. I think they had to cut the F-150. Their earnings came out and they were not good. Expected was 45 cents per share and they reported 26. Revenue missed by $3.53 billion, too.
What?
I've been holding puts on this thing since basically it gapped up above 16. I think I'm about to finally get rewarded here soon.
You've been holding puts on Ford since the end of October.
Yep.
Wow.
I didn't put a lot on it. It was an all or nothing, but I've also, I picked them up for, I want to say, March.
Okay. So I guess at some point it was just like, okay, these are worth zero. I couldn't sell them to anybody. So how could you get out of them if you wanted to?
There is no point in getting out of them. I just, let it run its course and see if it comes back down and revisit it. I bought so much time on them and they weren't that expensive because Ford is such a big name that
yeah.
The IV on them is usually not that high.
Nice.
So yeah, it might actually, might finally get rewarded for my patience.
Oh, I feel bad. What was the, I don't remember which company, was it MarketWatch? Was like 2 weeks ago, a month ago we were talking and it was up in the round 24 and they were like, Ford's gonna dump.
Oh, they actually were right.
And I was like, yeah, it's just because you want people to sell them your shares. And now it's like a month later, it's like, oh, wow. They fucking nailed it.
Maybe not everybody is trying to just take our money.
Yeah. Maybe not every story out there is a scam.
Or maybe it was reverse psychology.
Oh, well.
Anyway, yeah, I'm watching to see if Ford will retest 19. I might actually add to that position. I've got a support level, a really weak one at 18, that it's kind of just closed right above or right near. There's not a whole lot of volume down to 16.5. And then you got that gap from 16.5 down to 15.5. Mm-hmm. And I think we're probably going to see that gap get filled.
Yeah, you're right. Back down to 15. Oh, don't worry. Ford will get back up there again.
When they maybe.
Start getting some semiconductors.
They can pivot to EVs and start, I guess, if they can become the dominant EV maker.
Yeah.
According to Biden, which I think he thinks they already are.
Well, I actually have never ridden or experienced a Ford electric vehicle.
No, me neither.
So I don't but know.
They're innovating
it or not.
They're the leaders.
Well, yeah, they're the first.
Yes. Let's see. Other quick stocks that I got on my radar for next week. I got BP, British Petroleum. Oil's finally making that march up to $100. BP had a pretty key resistance at that previous top at 3260 that it kicked up above from, I think, above 33. I think we see that retrace or at least test 36 again. There is a small gap from back in March of 20.
Say it's been a long time since they've been up there.
Yeah, but with the way oil's going and the shift in sentiment, the market rotations, I think this one's a solid bet for at least a test of that 36, if not above. And then the last one I wanted to talk about was PayPal.
Yes.
PayPal also had a huge earnings miss. And the funny thing was, like an hour before this earnings got reported, actually, it wasn't even the earnings themselves. They kind of reported in line, like the actual estimated versus what was reported. They even had a surprise beat on the revenue. I think it was just the guidance that they offered was terrible.
Yeah.
But man, they got hammered.
Yeah.
Going back to April of 2020, there's a really strong support around 124. It's trading at 126 right now. We've been talking about a gap at between 140 and 128 that just got filled with that latest earnings dump.
It did just get filled. Wow, look at that.
But if you look at the price on the way down, it left behind two really big gaps.
Oh, yeah.
One from 175 down to 140, and then back in November of 21.
It's 225.
From 225, yeah, down to 215. Mm-hmm. This is a pretty solid support that it's at right now, and I'm actually considering maybe picking up some shares at this point.
Yeah, shares?
I don't know that I want to try to time this with options. It might take a while to come back and retest some of those levels, but
just buy one leap a year out.
Yeah, maybe you could do that and sell a higher one, do a leap spread.
Yeah, there you go. But no, it's at a big level. It was 124 was a huge resistance, and when it broke through, it didn't stop the bull run till it hit over 300.
Mm-hmm.
So damn. I think you're reading that right. That's,
and then like the way it ran up through, like it came up from 140 up to 175 and then coming back down. I mean, there's just a real thin spot on that volume too. So there's not going to be, once it gets up into that, there's not going to be a whole lot stopping it.
Mm.
Just like there wasn't a whole lot stopping it on the way down, because there's no indicators, there's no technical analysis to do in a spot that's void like that.
No auction data. All right.
Yes. All right. Should we, hit some earnings real quick and move on to crypto?
Let's talk about some earnings.
All right. Monday, we've got Hasbro, Tyson, Energizer. On the 8th, we've got Pfizer, BP, Piton, Lyft. Piton, too, is in the news just recently. It looks like there's people circling them trying to acquire them. I think they jumped like 40% on aftermarket.
Investors realize, like, wait, there is value in that brand. Somebody's going to buy it.
Yeah, that's probably about the only thing that could save them right now. Next Wednesday, we've got CVS, one of the ones that you picked to see all-time highs a few months ago, and it's definitely done that. Uber, Disney, Yum Brands. Thursday, we've got Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Twitter, Zillow, and on the 11th, we've got Dominion Energy.
Yeah, look at CVS. Jesus.
Yeah, you fucking nailed that one.
Yeah, yeah. Like I had the, I'm like looking at my levels, 96 half.
Mm-hmm.
And it's currently at 108.5, like $12 high. Anyway, all right, let's talk about some crypto.
Okay.
Look at the news. What do you see? The cult of cryptocurrency. I know you're greedy. I know you need. You need that Bitcoin, either NFT. Cult of cryptocurrency. Like Elon Musk tweets his Doge. The cult of cryptocurrency. Cult of cryptocurrency. Cult of cryptocurrency.
All right.
All right, Dan. What do you got for crypto here?
I had a story. Let's see. Apparently, this is not crypto specific, but NFTs, same genre.
It belongs. I'll allow it.
Traders are selling themselves their own NFTs to drive up prices. Where have we seen this before?
I think we saw it on Discord. Run, Rayosaurus. They're on to you.
Known as wash trading, the act of buying and selling a security in order to fool the market was once commonplace on Wall Street. It has been illegal for about 100 years. But NFTs are vast, unregulated. They exist in a vast, unregulated marketplace. So we're seeing it again. Mm. Old scam, new stuff. There was a report that tracked instances of the same trader selling the same NFTs back and forth at least 25 times. Yeah. So it'd be like me and you trading the NFT back and forth.
Right.
And then like inflate the price up and then we sell it to somebody else for the inflated price.
Huh. You got to make a lot of money to overcome the gas fees, though, don't you? For all those transactions?
I don't know.
Says they made about $8.9 million profit from that practice. So, I mean, wow.
Ugh, we should have been doing this sooner.
They also discovered significant evidence of money laundering in the marketplace in the last half of 21.
No.
thanks, Ray, for explaining that one to us, too, because that makes a lot of sense, what she was saying. Like, basically, you create a piece of art, you slap a $1 million price tag on it, you give it to your friend, and now you can say where $1 million of, like, cocaine money came from. And then, meanwhile, your friend can then donate that piece of art to a museum and then get a $1 million tax write-off.
Brilliant.
Right?
Wow. Okay. Now I just need $1 million from illegal cocaine sales, and I'm good to go.
Then you can just, make a piece of art, give it to me for $1 million. Exactly. Call it $1 million. You don't actually charge me.
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, I mean, if it's you, I'll cut you a discount for sure.
No, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, you could do the same thing with real physical art too, right? It's just easier with digital art.
That's what she was describing, was with the physical art. Like, that's...
Yeah.
It's the money laundering. Art is used for money laundering a lot more often than you'd think.
Right. Well, because it's one thing can be worth so much money. Like, why launder using 10 transactions when you can do it in one, right?
Right. And then on something that nobody can really properly value anyway, because it's only based... It's
subjective.
Yeah.
Well, it's supposed to be the marketplace and the auction finds the price, but art also allows for the artist to set the price. Market be damned.
Or the gun runners.
Yeah.
To set the fake price that they give it away for.
How do I apply to be an artist for illegal activities? Like, I'll paint your paintings.
I know, right?
It's an original Dan. I call it stick figure jerking off.
I call it payday. Payday. I call it never working again.
Never work again.
I had one pop up about quantum computers being able to crack Bitcoin sooner than you think was the headline. And that's kind of annoying when they do stuff like this, but it's still kind of interesting that... Within the next 10 years or so, they think that the quantum computers will be able to crack the encryption that actually protects Bitcoin.
So what would that mean for Bitcoin? Like,
so the ability to break it would allow an attacker to hijack transactions and reroute coins into their own wallet.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's not good. This also assumes that Bitcoin never changes their encryption.
Yeah.
What was interesting about the story, though, is just talking about the effects that this will have on modern encryption in general, meaning that, like, if you encrypt something today, 10 years down the road, it may not be safe anymore if you don't update that.
Right. God, how depressing is that?
You're never safe. You're
never, ever safe.
Technology always moves forward, friend.
No. Well, unless war were declared. Big enough war will set that technology back.
That's true. Well, usually war is good for generating new technology.
Well, as long as the war doesn't obliterate the whole planet.
But... Well, yes. Yeah, that is a key if.
I mean, look at Mars. We haven't heard about the Martians in a long time.
Well, that's a good point.
No.
Or the Moonanites.
Oh, I love the Moonanites. Yeah, let's alienate all our listeners right now.
Yes.
Except for the Aqua Teen fans.
Let's do that. And draw, motherfucker.
Oh, shit.
You know what this is?
No, what is this?
Can you hear that? That's your death rattle.
Oh, shit. Oh, well, I don't know. I had a week.
Yeah?
Stuff happened.
You want me to go first?
I wouldn't call any of it good. I'm just struggling to think of a good that I did this week. I don't think any of it was good. I had a rough week.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I did some things that were, I traded a journal. I did things correctly, but I wouldn't call any of it like I did good with that.
Fair enough. I have as my good and also my bad. It was the PayPal trade I made last week.
It's your good and your bad.
Well, it's my good because it was just a well-executed trade, like getting out of it. Like I took half off at the open just to immediately get paid and then ran the rest of them to like collect as much value as I could. The last runner collected it right at my, you know, stretch profit target.
Sounds good to me.
The bad was that I looked back as I was putting into my ledger. There's a lot of risk that I put on for an earnings gamble.
Yeah.
So it worked out, but it, you know, separate the results from the method. Like I put way too much into that trade.
Right. Because what if they had a huge earnings beat?
Or even if it was just flat. I mean, the earnings were flat. If they just would have bounced around, yeah, that would have cost me, you know, double what my normal position is.
Yeah.
So it worked out this time, but I mean, that's more luck than anything else, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's luck unless you have an insider at PayPal that told you what those earnings were going to be. And if that's the case, I'm mad that you didn't share them with me.
No, I just saw a lot of sentiment on, I guess, the metaverse.
Ugh. Sounds dirty when you say it.
I know, right? Anyway, you got a bad that you want to talk about?
I got an ugly. I don't know if I feel like I didn't have a good or a bad. I just had an ugly this week.
Let's hear the ugly.
I caught myself dom trading off my levels yesterday.
Mm.
Yeah. And I caught myself when I went to check my profit loss and saw that my loss was well outside of my risk management limits.
Mm.
And went, oh, fuck.
Oops, you did it again. You made the wrong call. You're watching it fall. Oh, not again. You thought that you were so great and you couldn't wait. You're not that good at this.
Oh, yeah. It was ugly. It was ugly, and it definitely made me yell at myself.
Oh, man.
Like, you're so not even trading your levels. You're just staring at the DOM.
It's so hard to not trade the DOM when you stare at it. Like you almost have to put it on a different screen and like you can only look at it when you're in a trade or at your level.
Right. That's a good idea. That's a good idea. I'm going to do that.
I think too, you might want to focus more on options too.
Really?
Not because I think there's more opportunity there. I mean, one, like you're making good calls with like the stocks that you're analyzing. But the reason being like it gets your focus off of the futures. So you're not constantly staring at them. If you're analyzing stock charts, that's less time you're spending staring at something that's trying to entice you to make a trade.
Well, I think my issue is more of the execution.
Yeah.
Than analysis. And it's going to be the same with options as it is with futures.
Do you find yourself more forcing trades or is it just getting in at the points that you identify like and then getting out when you're supposed to?
I think it's a matter of the getting in and out when I'm supposed to instead.
In that case, yeah, that's just more practice then, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, my ugly, I was trading an iceberg breakout, one of my favorite trades, and I did not switch my brackets.
Mm.
I still had my 10-point bracket on.
Oh.
The one that I was testing out to play with wider stops and see if you know I saw any improvement in my trading. I ate a 10-point stop on that trade.
I think was that the same iceberg? Were we on the call talking about that iceberg?
Yeah, when you pointed that out. Yeah, I was like, ooh.
I also took a loss on that one.
My normal breakout bracket is actually a trailing stop on it because if a breakout doesn't keep moving in a direction, like that kind of reversal is actually kind of likely.
Yeah.
That many people sell a level and it doesn't keep going down. Well, guess what? They're now all buyers.
It's like over 1,000 contracts.
And part of me, like, you know, wanted to just kind of keep it on just to see what a 10-point stop felt like. And yeah, it really actually wasn't that bad. It didn't hurt that bad to watch it.
Were you on sim or live?
I was on live.
Fuck. Okay. All right.
You know, luckily I was able to work my way out of it to basically break even on a nice, rotation at or a reversal at like I think it was 82. So it basically took what should have been like a 10-point profitable day to break even just by not, you know, flipping the brackets the way they're supposed to be.
It's funny because I was about even, and it took me to about 10 points negative.
Mm. But yeah, check your brackets.
Check your brackets, folks.
I will say I'm having a lot better luck with that 10-point stop, though.
Yeah.
I'm finding like one or two trades a day using that much wider stop, like allows me to pick the best of the best levels. Like, if you get it wrong, like your day's pretty much done. You're going to hit your loss for the day. But you get it right, that 10-point stop allows you to sit through some heat, and you don't have to get that entry just as perfect as you normally like to see.
All right. Well, shall we make a bet?
Yeah, let's do that. Fucking love that song too.
Hey Kyle, you know what I'm gonna do?
No.
I'm just gonna hold SPXS.
I was wondering if you're gonna do that.
Gonna hold over the same bet. Keep the stop at what I said, 16.5. Maybe I'll move the stop to say 17.5.
Normally you got to specify that the week before, but I'll let you keep the same entry price then, just to make it easier to do the maths.
Well,
rather than trying to rebuy it again on Monday.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Well, how generous of you.
Yeah, I think, go ahead. You can go ahead and keep it.
Yeah.
I think that's a good play.
You want to keep yours? Go ahead.
No, I was actually wondering if I should just buy PayPal.
But long on PayPal?
I was thinking about it, but no, I think I'm going to go long on BP.
Oh, that's nice. Okay.
I think long BP is probably the better move, and we need to stop at probably $30, we'll say. Or maybe $29.50, just to make sure that we can handle a dip back into that EMA cloud.
Okay, all right.
Profit target, 36. If it hits 36, just cash me out.
36, cash Kyle out. Okay, what about a random?
Odd or even?
Odd.
And 1 through 12.
10.
New York Stock Exchange Transportation.
Fancy.
Yeah, you picked Alaska Air. ALK.
I picked. No, the random.
I know. Random, yeah, why not go for an airline stock? Go ahead and beat us with one of those. Why not? Fucking asshole.
They have been bullish since the beginning of December.
Yeah, this down legged. God damn, this looks like a great entry.
Yeah.
Volumes decreasing on this sell off from this latest little top at 55.5.
Time to buy some calls on ALK.
Fuck, it might be. God damn, random. Random's gonna fucking smoke us this month.
I think they're gonna hit. I think ALK is getting above 58. Shit.
Damn it.
Okay. Well, ouch. Just going to say ouch for next week ahead of time. We'll see what happens. Oh, all right, Kyle.
Yeah.
You want to wrap this one up for us? Put a bow on it.
What do we normally do? Thanks for sticking around, folks. We had a great time chatting about a bunch of nothing. Reach out to us, send us your messages, rate us, all that other bullshit. If you have a way to help us figure out a way to raise money to support the show, you can tell us that too. We're open to ways to make money
without charging you for joining our Discord.
Join the Discord for real. Fucking great place. It's growing just like we wanted it to be. Everyone's sharing their not just their wins, but they're sharing their losses and their struggles. And I think that's what really makes a good community, is allowing other people to learn from your mistakes too.
Yep. I'm really pleased that nobody's gone in there and like acted like some hotshot badass. Like, I only ever make money. Like, everybody is following the same thing we're doing. Like, you got to be honest with each other and yourself if you want to try to get better.
Yes. If you only tell people about your wins, it makes you look good, but does nothing to help you grow.
Or them.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, folks, we got a big bet going on. Come back next week. Find out if SPXS beats Well, you got British Petroleum, BP.
Yep.
And then
or Alaska Air.
ALK. Ugh. Ugh. Just feel.
God damn it.
Stupid random.
I also find out if Dan survives a week.
Oh, I'll survive. I just need a bump of sleep, man. Just a bump of sleep.
Nice.
Because it's what normal people call a nap, right?
Yeah, that's what I call it.
All right, folks. Till next time, happy trades.
Bye. Thanks for joining us. You can find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2bullsinachinashop.com. Make sure you check us out. Download us on any streaming network. Blah, 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 blah. You know what to do. Rate, subscribe.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.